Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another week of Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. And if you joined us last week, we began in a very famous chapter of scripture in Romans chapter 8, and we had a great week together discussing what it means to set your mind on the Spirit. And we talked about how setting your mind on the things of the flesh is death, but setting your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And it was a great week together. I want to encourage you to go and listen where you can, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or AveMariaRadio.net or Spotify, to go and listen to that week, because we're actually going to build upon it. And as I was praying and continuing to read the scriptures in my own personal prayer and say, Lord, what are you feeding me with? I just began to continue on from where we were in Romans chapter 8. And so I want to continue through here this week, and we might even continue it into the next week, building out through this chapter for some continuity. Because as we continue to go into the next section that we're going to go into, because I believe we only made it through Romans 8, 1 through 8, we're going to begin in verse 9, and we're going to continue to see what the Lord has to say to us. And I really believe it's going to be a rich, rich week, just like last week, going through Paul's letter to the Romans, saying, who are we in Christ? We saw this in Ephesians. Who are we in Christ? What has Christ done for us? Who is he? And what does that mean for our identity? And now, how are we to live? And I've just been in this season where I really believe that the Lord is bringing my roots deeper and deeper and deeper in confidence in him, in faith in him, to have a faith that is living and active, that now is really beginning to affect my life, to affect my circumstances, to affect my attitude, all of these different things. And friends, why we're going over this stuff over and over and over again is because I want it for you. And everywhere we look in scripture and everywhere we're fed in scripture, we see again and again and again the gospel being proclaimed, us being drawn deeper into the identity of Jesus, deeper into who we are, and deeper into a supernatural life that rises above our circumstances. So we're going to pray. And one of the things that I wanted to do and begin to do here in the summer as we're together in the beginning as we pray is to pray just a line from one of the Psalms. And we're just going to begin to go through the Psalms, and we're going to pray as part of our prayer a line from the Psalms, and then pray to the Lord about that Psalm. That'll be our intro prayer as we go about our days here throughout the summer. And so if I forget, write in and remind me, but this is something that I've been doing in my own prayer that I think is just a way for us to, in a different way, continue to feed on God's word, because the Psalms have songs of rejoicing, poems of lament, poems of thanksgiving, all of these different ways of praying. So if you'll join me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we're going to start in Psalm 1. I'm just going to read a couple verses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Lord, as we pray this psalm and as we come before you reading your word and open up the book of Romans once again, we just ask that you would just give us a spirit of delight, that our delight would be in your law, our delight would be in your words, our delight would be in your commands, and that, Jesus, we really would find pleasure as we feed on your word, as your psalms say, pleasure at your right hand forever, that your inheritance, your commandments, your wisdom, your words that you've given us would be our pleasure and our delight. And as we read this word, that we may be trees planted near living water, that we would bear fruit, that we would bear fruit in and out of season because we are planted near your living waters. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So friends, we are going to pick up at Romans 8, verse 9. And again, like we've done before, we're just going to read a handful of verses and then we're going to go through them and see what the Spirit of God is saying to us. So we left off last week finishing with Romans 8:8, where it talks about the mind that is set on the flesh is dead. Really, I mean, it's intense, right? He says it cannot please God. A person that is in the flesh cannot please God. But he says this in verse 9, but you are not in the flesh. You are in the spirit. If the spirit of God really dwells in you, anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although your bodies are dead because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit who dwells in you. We're going to stop there because there's a lot there to go through. This is just an amazing passage. This is one of my favorite. I know I think it seems like I say this every time, but this is one of my favorite passages in all of scripture. And we're going to be getting into some of the meat of it throughout the next couple days. But we spent last week, Paul saying, set your mind on the things of the spirit. If you live in the flesh and set your mind on the things of the flesh, you will die. But if you set your mind on the things of the spirit, you will have life and peace. And so you're kind of left being like, well, how do I set my mind on the things of the spirit? And Paul comes in that first verse that we read, and it's almost like he eases us and he's saying, but the spirit of God is in you. He's saying you are not in the flesh. The spirit of God is in you. And he's saying, if the spirit of God really dwells in you, anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So what does it mean for the spirit to dwell in you and for the spirit of Christ to dwell in you? Well, there's this distinction, right? Because everybody is created in the image and likeness of God. Everybody is loved by God. Everybody is desired by God to come into the fullness of relationship with him. But we only receive the spirit of God through our baptism. And so those who are baptized, if you're listening to this and you're saying, how do I know if I have the Spirit of God? How do I know if I'm in God's family? If you're baptized, even if you've strayed, even if you've gone far, even if you've sinned, you were baptized and so you have the Spirit of God. And so through repentance, that Spirit of God is refreshed in you. The Catechism puts it like this in 1266, the Most Holy Trinity gives the baptized sanctifying grace, giving them the power to live and act under the prompting of the Holy Spirit through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In another place, it says the grace of the Holy Spirit has the power to justify us. That is to cleanse us from our sins and communicate to us the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Grace is first and foremost the gift of the Spirit who justifies and sanctifies. That the Spirit, that Spirit of God that we're talking about over and over and over again. You are in the Spirit. You are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit because the Spirit of God dwells in you. And now we get at what is the action of that Spirit of God that dwells in you. The Spirit justifies and the Spirit sanctifies. Two amazing actions. And why are we going over this? Because again, this is our reality. And so we want to lean into and live in and walk in the reality of what the Spirit of God is doing in us in this very moment, because it anchors our identity. If I don't know that the Spirit of God is dwelling in me, if I'm not alive to that reality, if I don't set my mind on it first thing in the morning, then I'm not accessing the power that God has given me. I'm not accessing what I have available to me according to being an heir, according to being a child of God in God's family. And so the Spirit gives me access now to a new way of living. Because the Spirit of Christ now dwells in me, and that Spirit sanctifies and justifies. First, it justifies. And we read this from St. Paul. If Christ is in you, although your bodies are dead because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness. Friends, there is a way, and we read this, and we're going to read this later in chapter 8 when we get there, that our bodies, our physical bodies, are still subject to the process of deterioration and to death because Jesus has not come again. and the resurrection of the body has not happened. And so right now we're living in a hope in which eventually one day when Jesus comes again, the second coming happens and the resurrection of the body happens, our bodies will be resurrected with our souls. But right now our bodies are subject to futility. So our bodies are still living in some sense under the reign of sin. But Paul's saying your bodies are dying and your body will die. Eventually it will be raised again. Your body will die and death will be a doorway into eternal life. But right now, you don't have to give into the hopelessness of the deterioration of creation. The deterioration, is that the right pronunciation of the word? Yeah, I think it was. Sometimes you say a word and it just sounds wrong. And you're like, I've said this word before, but it sounds wrong. But you don't have to give in your spirit to the hopelessness of what's here now, because there's a hope that's above us. There's a hope that's coming. And so he says, your bodies are dead because of sin. That's true. There's a futility that's over all creation, and creation is groaning for the renewal to be brought back and to be brought into a new perfection of the new Garden of Eden, that we're not just going back to how things were in the garden, but it will be made better and more perfect, and our bodies will be alive. But right now, that's not the reality. And he's saying, but your spirits are alive because of righteousness. You're being made alive. You were dead in your trespasses. You were headed for eternal death. But now the Spirit of God has justified you. What does that mean? Right? The grace of the Holy Spirit has the power to justify us. What does that mean? To cleanse us from our sins and to communicate to us the righteousness of God. To communicate to us the righteousness of God. First, the Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit of God comes upon you. It cleanses you of your sin. Baptism cleanses you of your original sin. The original wound in Adam and Eve is healed. We're cleansed of our sin, and then we're given God's righteousness, his saving action on behalf of his people. The very relationship that Jesus has with the Father. What is righteousness? It's right relationship. All that's tied up in their holiness, perfection, the righteousness, the right relationship to the Father that the only Son of God has is given to us. And now we are alive because of the righteousness of Jesus. The saving action that makes the relationship between God and man right is given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Him who raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit now lives in you. This is an amazing thing to ponder, friends. And as you go about your day today, as you walk in the Spirit, as you choose to set your mind on the things of the Spirit, go to this place with Jesus and say, Jesus, show me how you've made things right. Show me how the Spirit of God has justified me and transformed me, and allow me to understand and be grateful for the depth of this reality. Because friends, the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are not of the flesh, but you are walking in the Spirit, because the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Join us again tomorrow as we pick up in Romans chapter 8. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.